All right. So, topic for today, the second week in our series on Chesed Kehochasa. This week is Bibracholim and Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. The Shomer Shabbos email somehow or other got it as some piece of that, but not quite the full title. But that's our discussion. Bibracholim and Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. I don't remember what Rabbi Abbi's topic is next week, but God willing, he's giving the shiur next week. As always, psak on this should go with the Rav of the shul. Our basic question is this: is one allowed to perform Bigrcholim / Nichum Avelim on Shabbos? And is that lechatchila or bidiyeved? Is there a reason to dafka wait for Shabbos in order to visit someone? And then along the way, a question certainly that I get from time to time: what does one say to an avel on Shabbos? Is it appropriate to say Amakom Yenachem? Is it appropriate to say Good Shabbos? What does one say to an avel?
As
so there's no public.
Under the phrase, I mean, Shabbos and Menachem, from a private level, is a standard, correct? You know, from what I've heard and seen written, that's the standard, correct? It's like you don't say before Shleim on Shabbos, you say Shabbos and Yeliza before a private level.
Right.
So there's a parallel phrase for Avelim.
No. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Right. I mean,
we'll have to discuss whether that's in fact the requirement, as well as whether there's any issue with saying Good Shabbos, because there may be an issue with that as well. We'll have to talk about it. What I'm not going to be able to get into, just because of time, is the question of what to say to a cholah. In other words, is one required to say Shabbos Yimei Lizuk before Krav Alavo? Is one allowed to say before Shleimer or not? Those are fun questions which come out of the same Gemaras that we're going to be talking about, but they're going to go beyond what we have time for here. And the other question is whether one would be allowed, or even maybe one should, violate the Rabbanan in order to be Mevaker Chola, in order to visit somebody who's ill. And that comes up very easily, meaning there are cases in which to visit somebody in the hospital, one might require amir lakum, various electric eye type circumstances or electric door circumstances in a hospital and so on. So that's a question I hope to get to as well. So we have to start the conversation by looking at what the mitzvah of Bigrcholim is. In other words, Nichum Avelim is fairly well established. Right? Visiting somebody, looking after somebody who is an avel and offering them some degree of comfort. The Hamakim Menachem formula is generally taken as some element of it, although not the Ikar of Nichum Avelim. The Ikar of Nichum Avelim is providing a chama, which a one-line formula may not do, as some of the Chuvos note. But what exactly is Bigrcholim? So people are wont to translate Bigrcholim as visiting the sick, but of course it's not what the word Bikur means. The word Bikur is to examine, to look after the needs of. And if you take a look at Source Aleph, you see the classic Gemara on it, Nedarim Lamed Tesam Lebeis, is the beginning to Mem Amad Aleph, where Rav Chilbo Chalash, Rav Chilbo was ill. Nafak Achriz Rav Kahana, Rav Chilbo Boyish, Rav Kahana announces, Rav Chilbo was very sick. Lo Yigid Dekaasi, and nobody shows up to visit. It's even possible, I speculate, Rav Kahana, we know, was in fact a Kohen, from various Gemaras. So it's possible if Chabah was so sick that Rav Kahana couldn't personally visit, but he says, non-Kohanim should please visit. So Amar Lehu, he says, Lo Maisa B'talmid Echad B'talmid Rabbi Akiva. Didn't it once happen with one of the students of Rabbi Akiva, Shechala, he got sick, Lo Nechnesu Chachamim Levakar, the Chacham did not visit him, or did not, again, I'm falling into the trap of translating Levakar as visit. They didn't go examine his needs. Ubishvil Shakibdo Baribtsu Lefanov. I'm sorry, Nechaz Rabbi Levakar, Rabbi Akiva went in to look after him. Ubishvil Shakibdo Baribtsu Lefanov Chaya. And because he cleaned up the house, he swept the floor, he tamped down the dust with water, or whatever he used, as a result, the patient got better. So Rabbi Akiva felt that this was very important. Amar Lei, the student said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, Hichi Yisani, you have kept me alive. You've given me life. Yotze Akiva v'darash kol mi she'ein mevaker cholim kilu shofech damim. He says, if you don't go be mevaker cholim, I'm just going to say that instead of translating the word levaker, it's like bloodshed. Being mevaker chola gives life to the patient. If one does not visit, if he is not mevaker, he causes him to die. My grama. So the Gemara says, what? What does that mean? Causes him to die? For real? Kol shein mevakeh chola, ein mevakeh shalav rachman, lo sheyichdei av lo sheyamus. Rather, it doesn't really mean that, but what it does mean is that he won't daven for him to live, and obviously not to die either. That's his own discussion, davening for a patient to die. But the idea here is that when one goes to be mevakeh chola, the ikar, the essence of it, is really in two items that we mentioned here. First of all, Rabbi Akiva providing practical needs, and number two, davening on behalf of the patient. So the nature of this mitzvah is disputed, and it's going to matter as part of our discussion. Is this in fact a deoraisa, or is it a derabanan? What would you say? Is bikur cholim deoraisa or derabanan?
We're learning it as one of Hashem's primary attributes, like in Sota, that it's supposed to be like Hashem,
and
that's
derisive. So Chaim says, Mahu Avata. So Chaim is machaving to the Ramban in source base. The Ramban points out that the Rambam, as we're going to see, seems to say that it's a derabanan. And the Ramban says, you know, the Bahag listed it as deoraisa. What was the basis for the Bahag doing so? Source base, Baal HaHalachas Utsion LeMitzvos Sa'elu MiVeHalach TeBidrachav. The Baal HaHalachas Gedolos took these mitzvos, Bikur Cholim, Nichum Avelim, and so on, from the biblical imperative of walking God's ways, she mitzvahs asay. That's a mitzvah sasei. Be'emes kasa v'loleches bidrachav lahal bisharonu likpor meisum l'nachem aveilu v'akir cholim. All of these are mitzvah achasin. They're one big mitzvah of walking in God's ways. As the Gemara in Sota Yadalit says, Mahu afatad, God does it, you should do it as well. And that's one source for being a deoraisa. Rabbeinu Yonah gives us a different source for it to be deoraisa. It's a Gemara in Bava Metzia Dav Lamed, which talks about, that's usually known as the Gemara that's the source for Lefnim Yishuas Hadin, going beyond the letter of the law. But it learns a series of halachos from one pasuk in which Moshe is told what he should teach the Jews. And as part of it, it's Vodata Lahemes Haderech Yelchu Baves Hamaaseh Asher Ya'asun. So different clauses in that sentence are interpreted to apply to different lessons. And one of them is Bikur Cholim. Take a look at Gimel. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Taima de Milsam Yishum de Tanchume Avelim Mideo Reiser. Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about the idea that somebody who is involved in burying the dead is exempt from Shema. So he says, because Tanchume Avelim is biblical, the Bichlal Gemilus Chasadim Havi, it's part of Chesed, Gemilus Chasadim Min HaTorah, which is biblical. Hidei Amrinan V'Hodata Lahemes HaDerech. This is that Gemara Bav Metzia, Zu Gemilus Chasadim. They came and chose a mitzvah, pater mena mitzvah, about pishak barnik barames lo yach. He's exempt from Shema, even if the body is already buried. So all of these mitzvahs of Chesed, he says, come from this pasuk vodata lahem asaderach yelchuba. We seem to have two perfectly good psukim with drashos in the Gemara that Rishonim like. Nonetheless, the Rambam says it's a derabanan in source dalet mitzvah sase shel divrehem levakir cholam anachim avel mahotzi ames, and so on. The Rambam says it is a rabbinic mitzvah, and then he says aval pisha kol mitzvah zelim divrehem arehin v'chlav v'havdol arecha kamocha. Granted, it's rabbinic. Nonetheless, it's under v'havdol arecha kamocha. Kol advarim shatarotz sheyasu osam lacha achirim asay ata osam lachicha b'tarf mitzvos. Anything you want them to do, you better be willing to do. That's what the Rambam writes, and it's brought, in fact, in the Tur Yeradeh Shin Lamed Hey. So he says it's derabanan, and that's supported by the language of the Gemara Nedarim Lamed Tesamid Beis source Hey, in which Reish Lakish says remez lebikur cholim min hatara minayin. Where is there a hint in the Torah to Bikur Cholim? And he gives you this bizarre source. Like, you look at it and think, really, is that the best we could do? Not Hashem visiting Abraham at the entrance of the tent? What he comes up with is Korach, where Moshe says, if they die like everybody else, and Pekudas Kol Ha'adam Yipaked Aleihem. So he plays with this Pekida. He says, if they die like everybody else, meaning that they're lying in bed and people visit them, then people will say, Hashem didn't send me, so do something else to them instead. So that's my source, my hint, that there is such a thing as visiting people who are ill. Pekudas kol ha'adam yipaked aleihem, taking pekida as being some kind of a visit. But the point is, it's a remez. The Gemara says this is only a hint, that indicates that it's not a deoraisa. And that's the Sechemet's position. So we have two different views. We have a deraisa view, we have a derabanan view. Of course, the Rambam mentioned the pasuk of Ve'avdal Re'echa Kamocha. That sounds like it's Sa'alis and Asmachta or something. Yeah, Chaim.
Once the Rambam's quoting Pasuk in the Torah, why does he put the Pasuk that Gemara in Sotah quotes and attribute all those verses to that Pasuk?
Yeah, the whole thing is very strange. I mean, it is. The Pasuk in Sotah is very vague. Right? V'alach v'drachav. So we are saying that he's Mavakir Cholim, but it's really not an explicit source. The Pasuk in Bava Metziah, is also a strange pasuk. The Kamocha is much more straightforward. I just don't understand why that doesn't make it a mitzvah saseh.
Well, if you mean the Rambam is basically acting like a Tana, the way he's making this drasha, you expect that the drasha to appear in the Gemara, not the Rambam.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing. I mean, we have Vehatalarecha Kamocha used for various purposes in the Gemara, none of them obvious. They, give him a dignified death. See your wife before you marry her. You know, those are lessons we learn from Ve'atalar HaKamocha. Not visit people who are sick. But we have this vague status, and that's going to matter as we go through our discussion. Is this really Deoraisa, or in fact, is it a Derabana? So there are four key passages of Gemara regarding Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. Three of them are Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim. One of them is just Nichum Avelim. Take a look, please, at Source Vav. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. It's part of a series of comments from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. V'chein hayo Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Ein Mishatrin es Hatinokos Le'ores. He says, you don't arrange a shidduch for a kid on Shabbos. V'lo es Hatinok L'lamdo Sefer. You don't arrange a shidduch with a teacher, either, for a child. Or somebody to whom he'll be apprenticed. We don't do nichum avelim. We don't visit the sick or look after the sick. B'Shabbos. Divrei Beis Shammai. That's Beis Shammai's position. We don't do any of these things. And Beis Hillel Matirin. Beis Hillel says, sure you can. What's Beis Shammai's reason? Why isn't Beis Shammai happy with doing these things on Shabbos?
Write it down.
Write down what? Oh, if you're making the arrangement for the shidduch,
yeah.
Maybe. And Bikur Cholim, Nichum Avelim, you're going to write down which mishnayos you committed to learn.
No, because you have to do tzircha, lifting stuff and moving stuff.
Maybe. I mean, it's not what the Gemara is going to indicate, but those are good ideas. We'll have to see why in the world Beis Shammai would prohibit, and it's going to be more than one reason. On the flip side of the same page, on Yudbeis Amud Beis, we get this one line, which is Sor Zayin. V'omar Rabbi Chanina, b'koshi yitiru l'nachem aveilim l'vakir cholim b'shabbos. Rabbi Chanina says, it was only with great difficulty that they permitted nichum aveilim and bikur cholim on Shabbos. Now, we generally assume, as we read this Gemara, that the b'koshi yitiru is referring to whatever it was that bothered Beis Shammai as well. In other words, it's not that there are two different arguments against going. One of them is Beis Shammai's argument, and the other one is whatever was really bothering them. Whatever it is, it bothered Beis Shammai, bothered the Rabbanan as well. Although, we will see this one view of the Mordechai who says that the Bekoshi Hitiro was specifically an Avelus issue, and it was that if people visit the Avel on Shabbos, that creates Avelus Befarhesia. It creates public avelus. The Mordechai says this, nobody else does. Everyone else assumes that the Bekoshi issue is the same for Nichum Avelim and for Bikur Cholim and it's what bothered Beis Shammai. What is unclear here and is subject to Machlokas is whether Bekoshi is part of Beis Hillel or not. In other words, do I have two views or three? Beis Shammai says Aser. Beis Hillel says Mutter. Is Beis Hillel saying, I am Matir Bekoshi, this is difficult to permit, but I permit it, and so we only have two views here? Or is it that that there are three views? There's Beis Shammai says, Asur. Beis Hillel says, entirely Mutter, don't worry about it. And the Chachamim in general said, Bekoshi, we're gonna permit. That since Eliezer took the view, Beis Hillel has no Koshi at all. Beis Hillel thinks this is fine altogether. Take a look at Source Ches. Waldenberg says, we didn't see the Shiltos yet, we're going to. He says, we learn from the position of the Shiltos and the Levush De la halacha paskinan de lok Rabbi Chanina, that we don't follow Rabbi Chanina, de bekoshi yitiru levaker, that it was only with difficulty that they permitted it. Ela de mutter b'shofi, but it is easily permitted. Ukapashtus mashmos divrayim shel beis hillel shamatir, and like the simple reader beis hillel, that they permit. The difference is, and the reason why I'm making this point, is if you're going to tell me it's bekoshi yitiru with great difficulty, then the answer really is you shouldn't do these things on Shabbos. If you're stuck, the Avel needs somebody to be with him. You haven't had a chance to go visit the Shiva, or the Chola, whatever the case may be. Shabbos is the only day I can do it, so then go do it. But it's Bekoshi that we're allowing it. Whereas Waldenberg says no. He says that's not Beis Hillel's position. Beis Hillel's position is Shabbos is just like Tuesday. Visit on Shabbos, visit on Tuesday, it makes no difference. B'shofi, we permit this entirely and have no problem whatsoever. Others disagree and say that even Beis Hillel only permits Bekoshi. I believe that's Yaakov Emden's position. We'll have to see. We're going to see a little bit of his position later on. Side note, complete side note, but an interesting one. There's a classic debate. Is it which one comes first, Bikur Cholim or Nichum Avelim? Right, visiting the sick or Nichum Avelim. So some draw that Nichum Avelim comes first from the order in story 7, because it mentioned Nichum Avelim before Bikur Cholim. You see that? Because Yitiru L'Nachum Avelim L'Vakir Cholim. So therefore, they take it that Nichum Avelim is first. The Chuvas Magen Shol discusses this. The problem with that is what we're going to see in source test, where the order is going to be reversed. But take a look.
It's up to Shabbos, the major concern would be with the Holy, not the Avelim, and therefore there's less of a Koshi for the Avelim. That's why they were.
What do you mean? The major concern would be.
Would be the Holy, therefore it's
science.
Because you'd have to move stuff, because the Avelim, you don't have to do too much.
Okay, but if a patient needs that, then I would hope you would take care of the patient's needs.
I would take the order of care.
Sorry? Right, so there's a longer discussion. If you take a look at Chuvas Magen Shaul Samach Tes, is where he has this discussion. He argues that the source that you have here in the Gemara in Zion is more authoritative than other orders that you're going to see elsewhere. But it wasn't clear to me why. Like, he made the argument, but I didn't follow what he was doing with it. It's a Brisa. In other words, the first part of that is a Mishnah. The rest of it is a Brisa. Take a look at source test, please, though. This is our third source. This is a fascinating one. Tanya. Rabbi Lazar bar Tzadok Omer. Kachayim in Hagan shel Anshei Yerushalayim. This is what they did in Yerushalayim. Adam yotzim beisa on Sukkos. You leave your house. Lulavo biyado. You have your lulav in hand. Halach beisak neses. Lulavo biyado. You go to shul, holding the lulav. Kari kriyashma mispala lulavo biyado. Kari batara bless you. No say as kap of yuduchen manicho agabe karka. At that point, you have to put it down. Holech levaker chol lunachim avelim. Notice the order is reversed now. Lulavo biyado. Lulav in hand. Nichnas lebeis hamedrash. Mishagar lulavo biyad beno biyad avdo biyad shlucha. You go to beis medrash, then send it home. Maika Mash Malan, what does this teach me? Lodiha Kamahayu's reason b'mitzvos, how much energy they had for mitzvos, they took the lulav with them wherever they went. That's the idea. However, when is this happening, source test? This is happening on Yontif. There's no distinction drawn of Yontif and Cholamoid, right? So you are able to be Mavakir Cholim, you're able to be Menachem Avel. On Yontif, parenthetically, how do you have a case where he's Menachem Avel on Yontif? If the person was buried before Yantif, Avelas didn't start. If the person passed away on Yantif, Avelas didn't begin. Manushach. So either the answer is that that it's where there wasn't an opportunity before Yantif started for the person to even sit for a little bit, and therefore Yantif doesn't cancel it out, and therefore they're in this delayed Shiva mode, or where they didn't find out about the death until Yantif. The death happened in some other town, and now they found out. But when you read it, you're like, wait a minute, we don't have Shivan yet. That doesn't happen. There are a couple of chuvos on the topic. It was beyond the scope of what we're going to do in this year, but there are a couple of chuvos on the topic of visiting a chola, not a chola, visiting somebody who's in suspended abeilus. Rachmana Litzman, but if there's a burial on Chol HaMoed, the person has to wait until after Yantif. So Batel Chochma, Batel Stern, and others discuss this question of what one does in terms of looking after them until Yantif is over. But what you see here very clearly is Yantif, Shabbos, the conclusion is to do it, with the one caveat of Bekoshi, at least according to one view, in our second source. The last source is only about Avelis, not about Bikur Cholim, and that's Moed Katan Chav Gimel, source Yud. Tanu Rabbanan, Braisa says, Avel Shabbos Rishona Eino Yodzi Pesach Beso. An Avel, Shabbos Rishona. Someone translate the words Shabbos Rishona, please. Ah, so Chaim asked the question. First Shabbos or first week? Unclear. Avel, Shabbos Rishona, Eino Yotzei Pesach Beso. In the first week or on the first Shabbos, he doesn't leave his house. Shnia Yotzei Ben Yoshi Ben Mekomo. The second he leaves the house, he doesn't sit in his normal place. Shlishis Yoshi Ben Mekomo, and so on. So take a look at the Ritva in Source Yud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan, see that? He says, Avel Shabbos Rishona Eino Yotzei Pesach Beso Yesh Apir Shudai Shabbos Hainu Shavua. Some say that means the first week, which is the way I would have read that Gemara straight. However, he says, Nirin HaDvarim K'moshe Pirshua DeShabbos HaAmura Kan Hainu Shabbos Mama. She quotes the Ravid. And he says that actually Shabbos means Shabbos. That's actually what we're talking about. That Shabbos Rishona, on the first Saturday, he does not leave his house, and now go back into the Gemara Moed Katan, because you'll see why this is relevant for us. It said on the first Shabbos, if I take the Ritva's read, the Avel doesn't leave his house, the second he leaves his house, doesn't sit in his regular place, the third week he sits in his regular place, doesn't speak, the fourth week he's like anybody. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, on the second line in Source Yud, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Hutzuchu Lomer Shabbos Rishona Liyetzi Pesach Beso. He didn't need to say that on the first Shabbos he shouldn't leave his house. Because everybody comes into his house to comfort him. And that's really the key here. If you take the Ritva's view that this is Shabbos, this is another piece of evidence that Nichum Avelim is done on Shabbos. Clear? Everything that we've saying so far makes it sound like, of course, you do Nichum Avelim on Shabbos. Right? And Bikur Cholim as well, although that wasn't in Source Yud. Add to that a source in Agadata, which becomes very important because the Torah quotes it. And that's Source Yud Beis from the Medrash in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. There's a similar source in Maseches Sof from Perikei Tes. Rosh Shlomo Shemidas Gemilus Chasadim Gedol Lefnei Amakom. Shlomo HaMelech saw how important Gemilus Chasadim is to Hashem. Ukshabana Beis HaMikdash Bana Shnei Sha'arim. So when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he built two special gates. Echad Chasanim, one for Chasanim, Ve'echad Avelim V'Lamenudim, and one for mourners and people who were excommunicated. So people would go on Shabbos, they would sit at these two gates. Anybody who entered through the Chasan gate, they started singing Od Yishama. They knew that he was a Chasan. And they would say, they would say, Hashem should make you happy with children. No pressure. Whereas the one who went through the Avel gate, and his mustache was covered in the manner that they had of Avelus of covering their head, they knew he was a mourner, and they would say to him, the one who dwells in this house should comfort you. Notice that they don't change the wording. In other words, they just say, may God offer this person comfort. So he says. It continues to say, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, I'm skipping to after the two dots. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hiskinu Shiu Chasanim Va'avelim Hochem Lebatei Knesios Lebatei Midrashos. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they said, you know what? They should go instead to the shuls, to the study halls. Va'anshe Amakum Rowan Es HaChasun Esmeichan Imo. They'll see the Chasun, they'll celebrate with him. Rowan Es HaAvel V'yoshvin Imo Al HaAretz. They see the Avel and they sit on the ground with him. Kedei Sheyeshvu V'yetzu Yisrael Yidei Chavasim V'Gmilos Chasadim. That everybody should fulfill Gmilos Chasadim. And this is taken, even though it's not explicit in the source, it's taken as being Shabbos. That's the way that we look at it. Okay. So everything that we've said supports the idea that we do this on Shabbos. Let's ask the question now, one of the questions we started with, which is that lechatchila or b'diavad? And the answer is, it depends on how you look at the machlokes, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, because there are two different ways to take that machlokes. We asked the question, I asked the question before, why would Beis Shammai prohibit? What's wrong with being Menachem Avah? What's wrong with being Mevaker Cholim? Sechaim gave me some good technical issues. There's tircha involved. If you have to do things for the chola, you might come to write something down, maybe. But on the face of it, what is not Shabbos oriented about visiting somebody who's ill or visiting an avel on Shabbos?
An Iron Shabbos issue?
Yeah.
Yes, an Iron Shabbos. Takes away the Iron Shabbos.
That's the classic approach, is that the issue is Sa'ar. If you take a look at Sois Yud Gimel, the third line in Rashi, later you'll see why I brought the first two, but the third line in Rashi, Ve'ein Menachemin, Rashi says, Mishum de Mitzta'er im HaMitzta'arin, because he will be pained along with those who are in pain, meaning he's visiting somebody who is already upset, and now he's going to experience that pain as well. That's Beis Shammai's rationale. You're ruining Shabbos.
That applies only for Eichel, not for Bigger Cholim.
Bigger Cholim also. You're visiting somebody who's in a terrible condition.
You're bringing him on it. He's having a terrible Shabbos. You're helping him out.
So take a look at the Shildos in Source Yedalit. The Shildos of Rav Chai Gon presents both sides. B'Shabbos ma'u l'shayule b'ktsira. The Rav Chai wants to know, on Shabbos, are you allowed to ask after somebody who is ill? Ktsira is a chola, somebody who's ill. Me, I'm reading, do we say, and I bolded it for you. Kaven da azil v'chazile the islay tzara chalash daite v'ka'akar inuga d'shavsa. On the one end, you could say that you're going to see him in pain, and you're going to be upset, and you'll lose your oneg Shabbos. Rachmana amar v'karas l'shabbos oneg. O Dilma, kaven da amar mar koman da azil l'mashal b'katsira dami koman da yoev l'chaye, since we said, right, like that line from Rabbi Akiva, that when you go to see this person, you are like you're giving them life, and therefore it's an okay thing to do. And so he quotes you the brisa that we saw in Shabbos Yud Beis Amud Aleph, which indeed said we do visit according to Beis Hillel, the Hilchasak Beis Hillel Bechulu, and he says the law on that whole list of things is like Beis Hillel. So the Shildos raises Chaim's point in response, but fundamentally the issue and the reason why we are concerned is tsar, is pain. The Rif actually gives a different explanation. The Rif in Source Tes Vav says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, we have Rabbi Chanina in our Gemara, but the Rif has Rabbi Yochanan. Bekoshi yitiru l'nachem avel mulvakar cholim b'shabas, perish, shema yavo lizok b'shabas, that you might come to cry out on Shabbos. Is that really a separate concern, separate from Tzar? So the Chuvas Yachonu Boaz says no. He says it's the same point. In Source Tezayin, where I bolded it, he says, V'hu adin, v'hu atam. It's really the same issue. It's not a different issue. There are others who discuss this and suggest maybe to draw distinctions, but he says it's the same issue, fundamentally. The matter is Tzar. Rabbi Bezalel Stern, in his Bezalel HaChochma, in Source Yud Zayin, offers a very interesting attempt to prove that the issue is tsar, the issue is pain. He says, you know what was really interesting about Source, which one was it? It was Shabbos Yud Beis Amud Aleph in Source Vav. When we had this discussion about whether you're allowed to do all of these things, it only mentioned Shabbos. It didn't mention Yom Tov. Right? Why didn't they mention any concern regarding Yom Tov? That's the Bezalel HaChochma's question, is why we didn't mention Yom Tov. Not only that, but on Yud Beis Amud Beis, when we said Bekoshi Hitiru, they also didn't mention Yom Tov. They only mentioned Shabbos. If the issue really is about ruining your day, Yom Tov has a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. So why are we not worried about ruining Simchas Yom Tov? That's the question that he asks in Source Yud Zayin. So he says, I'll give you the answer. The answer is, there's no avelus on Yom Tov. Even private avelus. Even the case of somebody who only found out about the death beforehand, right? There is no avelus, according to the Rambam, even private avelus on Yom Tov. And even within the view that there is private avelus on Yom Tov, it's only Tashmish Amita. That's it. Only relations between husband and wife, and nothing else will apply. So because there's no issue of avelus on Yom Tov, he says, the person who goes to see the avel will not witness any pain. He's not going to witness any tzar. So he says, that proves that the whole concern was tzar. The only problem I have with it is that we also talked about Bikur Cholim here. And you can't tell me that the Chola doesn't feel pain because it's Yom Tov. That's nonsense. So I don't know what he would do with that. It was a nice proof, but I don't see it. But in any case, the rule is, or not the rule is, I shouldn't say that. The concern is, you are putting yourself, by visiting, in a position to feel pain. And in fact, you're not supposed to do that on Shabbos. You're not supposed to do that on Yom Tov. An interesting note I brought you in Yud Ches and Yud Tes, the Ramah writes regarding your conduct on Shabbos. And this is brought regarding reading newspapers. Bnei Adam shesipur shmuos v'divrei chidushim hu oneg lahem. People who really like talking about the news. That's what they enjoy. Mutter l'saper b'Shabbos k'mo b'chol. So they're allowed to talk about new things on Shabbos, just like during the week. Aval misha eino misaneg. But if you don't enjoy it, aser la'omrim k'desh yisaneg b'em chavero. You're not allowed to put up a good front. You're at the Shabbos table, and they want to talk about the latest development, and you don't enjoy it at all. You think, I'm going to be a good host, I'm going to be a good guest. Don't do it. You're ruining your Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah writes, "V'aser l'saber b'Shabbos eizah davar shemitzta'er bo." You're not allowed to speak of things that cause you pain. Shmir Shabbos Kelchasa quotes this halacha regarding reading obituaries on Shabbos. He says it causes people pain. All of this supports one idea, one way to take the machlokas beis hillel beis shammai, and that is that the focal issue is tzar. However, there's a whole other way to read this gemara. The Rambam gives me a different principle. Look at source chaf on your sheet, please. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Chaf Dalet writes the following. Mutter la'adam lomar lepoel. You're allowed to say to a worker, Hanir'eh she'tamodi mila erev. You think you'll be able to stand with me tonight? Avalo yomar lo heyeh nachon li la'erev. What you can't say to him is, make sure you're available for me tonight. Right? It's Shabbos. You're not allowed to prepare for after Shabbos. You can ask him, you think you'll be available? And then he continues to say, Va'aser laharbos besicha v'teila v'Shabbos. You are not allowed to increase empty talk on Shabbos. Shenamar, because the pasuk in Yeshaya, Mimitzo chavtzecha v'daber davar. On Shabbos, you are not supposed to speak of things. Shaloye dibur chashel Shabbos ki dibur chashel chol. Your Shabbos speech should not be like your weekday speech. And the Rambam goes right from that into the following. Mutter larutz b'Shabbos ledvar mitzvah. You're allowed to run on Shabbos, to go to a mitzvah, like going to shul, going to the base medrash. You're allowed to calculate tzedakah. Uposkin tzedakah la'aniyim. You're allowed to designate funds for the needy. V'hochan lebatek nesios lebatek medrashos v'avilu tartios. You can make collections for tzedakah in all of these different places. And then he continues with what we saw in the Gemara in Shabbos Yubeis Amad Aleph, the end of the next to last line in Source Chav. U'mishatchin al tinokos le'ores. You're allowed to arrange a shidduch. V'al tinok lamdo sefer lamdo umnus. You're allowed to arrange for the kid's education. U'mivakrin cholin u'menachim m'avelim. You are allowed to look after the chola. You are allowed to comfort the mourner. Shekol elu kayotze b'en mitzvah hein. These are all mitzvos. V'nemar asos chafatzecha v'daber da. Don't perform your needs on my holy day. Your needs are asur. But the needs of Shemayim are mutar. This indeed is a mitzvah. So the Rambam presents a different point. The Rambam didn't mention anything about Sa'ar at all. The Rambam thinks that what motivates Beis Shammai is v'daber davar, the issue of speaking of empty things. The truth is, it's hard for me to understand that this is the Rambam's view. Well, first of all, he called it a mitzvah here. I mean, you could say it's a mitzvah derabbanan, and therefore that's also chatzei shemayim. It's not. He's going to say once we call it a mitzvah derabbanan, now it's chatzei shemayim. You're not overriding it. It fulfills it. I think that's what he would answer. But I have a different problem. The Aruch HaShulchan has a discussion about the view of the Rambam on V'daber Davar in general. which requires a little bit of explanation. Take a look at Source Chaf Aleph, please. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Gimel. Don't pursue your needs. Your needs are aser. Divine needs are mutar. V'daber davar shaloye dibur chashal Shabbos ki dibur chashal chol. Don't speak on Shabbos as you would during the week. So on that, the Rambam writes in Source Chav Beis, what is included? Yesh davar shenasurim b'Shabbos alpi she'en domen l'malacha v'enem mevien l'day malacha. There are things you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, even though they're not like malacha, they don't cause malacha. It's only because of this pasuk in Yeshaya that is aser and lefichach. Therefore, he says the very last line on this page: aser la'adam lahalich b'chafasa. Shabbos, you're not allowed to go after your needs on Shabbos. Flip the page. And even speaking of such things, telling your partner, your business partner, what to sell tomorrow, what to buy, how to build this house, where the merchandise is. Those are things that the Rambam includes under Vidaber Davar. Business is Vidaber Davar, not having a nice, pleasant conversation. That's what the Rambam believes. The Tosfos, on the other hand, is broader. Tosfos in Chav Gimel says, I don't think that that's true. He quotes Urashi, who says, V'daber davar is about mekach u'memkar, about commerce. But Rabbi Natan disagrees. He says, that's already under Mimitzo Chavtzucha. V'daber davar is different. And he quotes you a medrash in Vayikra Rabba, which is also Yerushalmi. I don't know why Tosfos doesn't quote you the Yerushalmi. I guess maybe he, I don't know. But it's actually a Yerushalmi Shabbos Perek Tesvav, in which we get the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You see where we are in the middle of Chav Gimel? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Havalei Ema Savta. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had an elderly mother, Davis Mishtoya Sagya, and she talked a lot. Amar La, he said to her, Ema Shabsahi. He said, Mother, it's Shabbos, Shaska, and she was silent. That's the quote from Vayikra Rabba. The Mashma She'in Kol Kach L'daber B'Shabbos Kamo B'Chol. It means you're not supposed to talk as much on Shabbos as you do during the week. And Yerushalmi even says, here he quotes it, B'Tarachitu B'Shelah Shalom B'Shabbos. It was only with great difficulty that they permitted saying hello to people on Shabbos. So I'm a little surprised to see the Rambam call Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim B'Daber Davar. The Rambam was on the side that that's about commercial conversation. Tosfos was the one who was on the side of saying V'daber davar means don't talk a lot, which is what I would have understood as the issue. Nonetheless, it's very clear here that that's what the Rambam said. The Rambam says explicitly in the halachas that we saw before, halacha dal and halacha hey, in Source Chaf, that the issue here is V'daber davar, not the issue of tsar. Well, that's really interesting. What's a nafkamina? What's the difference whether I say the reason is tsar or the reason is talking a lot? No, you're talking a lot v'daber davar, according to Tosfos.
Sorry?
Sorry
is an extra step. It's like a negative.
True, but no, but give me a practical difference. What if I visit somebody and I don't talk a lot?
It's a detractor as opposed to...
It's true, but I mean, what if you visit somebody and you're not going to talk a lot? So there's no daber davar issue. There's only a tsar issue. What if you visit somebody and you don't feel pain? Let's say it's a case, you know, where everyone says, look, the person lived a good life, and they're you know, I mean, you go to a shiva house sometimes, and I don't want to give specifics because there can be pain in all situations, and I don't want to be in any way insensitive. But you go to a shiva house sometimes, and people are all right, so to speak, with it. They're not feeling tsar. They're not displaying tsar. So if it's v'daber davar, you're still in violation. But if it's about tsar, there's no tsar. What if somebody goes to look after a chole just on a practical level? He's just taking care of certain needs. That's all he's doing. So there's no tsar issue. But there may well be a v'daber davar. So it matters what you give. How do you know from the Gemara itself whether this is tsar or go back to Source Vav? What is the indication there? Where's your evidence to say that this is tsar versus that this is v'daber davar? It's clear in Source Vav what the root is of this.
Yeah,
Right, the first part of the sentence. Exactly, as Jay says, the first part of the sentence was clearly v'daber davar, arranging an apprenticeship, arranging a shidduch. Those are v'daber davar. The question is whether to read this machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai as one machlokes, which is the Rambam's view, it's all v'daber davar, or two different machlokesin, whether to read it as first part is v'daber davar, second part is tsar, which is the way Rashi will read it. And the proof that this is the way Rashi reads it, this confused me no end when I first learned the Gemara. I couldn't understand what Rashi was doing, and then it becomes obvious once you recognize that he's breaking it up into two things. Go back to source Yud Gimel, please. I realize you can't see source Vav and source Yud Gimel at the same time, but we'll be okay. Look at what Rashi did. Ein Meshadchin, he gives his line on Ein Meshadchin, then he inserts Beis Hillel Matirin, and then Ein Menachemin. But in our Gemara, Beis Hillel Matirin was after Ein Menachemin. You follow? I couldn't figure out what Rashi had done and what he was commenting on. And then I realized, because Rashi actually breaks it up into two different debates. Ein Meshadchin, because of Netzach Hatzacha, Beis Hillel Matirin, because he says that's Chatzei Shamayim, and then Ein Menachemin because of Tsar, and that's a separate machlokas. You follow? That's what's going on. Rashi is breaking it up into two separate machlokas. The first one is Memtzo Chatzcha V'Daber Davar, and then the second one is the issue of Tsar. Okay. But now let's get down to the question. So is visiting on Shabbos a B'diyeved, or is it even something you could do a Chatzchila? So if the issue is V'Daber Davar, if that's really what it's about, like the Rambam, so then, once I say it's Chatzei Shamayim, and therefore it's Mutter, it's 100% fine to visit on Shabbos. There isn't any koshi at all. There's no challenge at all. Of course you can do it, because it's Chatzei Shamayim. V'davar v'davar was there as a concern, and it's crushed, and it's over. And that's it. We're good. But if the issue is Tsar, then maybe indeed we should only permit b'diyeved. And it depends on how we understand Beis Hillel's permission. And this is the point I made before. When we said on Yud Beis Amid Beis, Bekoshi Hitiru, that it was only with difficulty they permitted, was that Beis Hillel talking? Or was that others, but Beis Hillel permits it just fine? In other words, is Shabbos or Tsar, Dechuya or Hudra, to use the language that we use in other contexts? If we say it's the chuya, it's the koshi hitiru, they permit it only with difficulty. So alright, I'm worried about being in pain. Visiting on Shabbos has redeeming value if you need to do it. We'd rather not. That's one view. The other view is no. The great value of visiting entirely overrides tsar. And Beis Hillel is 100% fine. Like the Shilto said, visiting brings life. You follow? So if the issue is like the Rambam says, v'daber davar, then for sure it's l'chatchila to visit. If the issue is tsar, you can see it both ways. So what do? So the Rishonim seem to say that we visit without any compunction whatsoever. If you take a look, we already saw the Rambam's language in Source Chaf, where he talked about this, but take a look at Chaf Dalet. This should sound familiar to you. The Rambam in Hilchos Lulav. Kach haya minog b'Yerushalayim. This is what they did in Yerushalayim. Yotzei Adam ibeiso shachar z'lulav b'yado. He left the house with his lulav. Nichnas ibeis haKnesset. He went to shul with his lulav. Davened with his lulav. Went out levakir cholim lunachem avelim. And the lulav was in his hand. It's straight Gemara in Sukkah in Source Test. The Rambam doesn't say this was not a great thing to do, but that was what they had the opportunity for. The Rambam says go for it. And that makes sense because the Rambam says it's a davar davar. And it's entirely overriding, since Chatzei Shemayim. So the Rambam believes it's Lechatchila. But it's not only the Rambam. The Ashkenazi Rishonim did it as well. The Or Zarua in Source Chav Hei. Umin Hagenu, our practice is La'acha Sheyotzi Beis HaKnesses B'Shabbos Holchem Levakir Esach Cholim Ves Avelim. We leave Shul on Shabbos. We make a beeline for Bikur Cholim. We make a beeline for Nicham Avelim. They're not running home to make Kiddush. They're going for Bikur Chol, and they're going for Nichum Avelim. The Mordechai in Source Chavav, ditto, public Nichum Avelim for the Avelim. They ditto in the Maharam, ditto in the Aguda, ditto in the Ma'ari Bruno. All the early Ashkenazim do it. And indeed, our works of Psak say to do it. Take a look at Chav Zayin, please. The tour. Because of Adoni Avi Arash Zal, my father the Rush said, Noagin ba'Ashkenaz, the practice in Germany was, Sha'aval holech lebeis haknesses b'Shabbos. The mourner would go to shul on Shabbos. V'acharat tefillah yotzei aval tchila. And after davening, the aval would leave first. V'yoshev lefnei beis haknesses. He would sit down in front of the shul. V'chol hakol holech anacharav. And everybody would follow him. V'yoshev anetzel. And they would sit with him. V'omed ha'aval v'holech lebeiso. And then the aval would go home. V'chol hakol holech anacharav. And they would all go with him. V'yoshev in shamsha achas. And they would stay there for an hour. V'som chenal divrei hagada pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer. Agadata that I mentioned in the beginning, that Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer about Shlomo HaMelech and the Beis HaMikdash and the Shul and everything else, that's what the Torah says from his father they did in Ashkenaz. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in Source Chav Ches, Yecholim Menachem Avelim B'Shabbos V'chein Yecholim Levaker Esachola. Yeah, you can do that. However, when you get to the Achronim, you get differences in practice. Going back towards the issue that this is really about Tsar, and it's only Dechuya. Many say that it is Hutra. It's 100% Mutter. The standard read being, it's Mutter in spite of Shabbos. And that's the Tzitz Eliezer we quoted before, which I bring you here in source, Chaf Tes. He says, Beis Hillel permits it entirely. But not only that, let's get stronger than that. Some said, not only is it Mutter in spite of Shabbos, but it's Mutter, by the way, that makes even more sense if Bikur Cholim is a Deoraisa. I forgot to note that. But some said, not only is it Mutter in spite of Shabbos, it's Mutter because of Shabbos. The ideal form of Bikur Cholim is to visit on Shabbos. And the one who leads the charge on this is someone by the name of Rabbi Moshe Ibn Machir, who lived in Tzfat, the end of the 16th century, right after the heyday of the Ari and Rabbi Yosef Karo and all of those, the next generation down. He writes something called the Seder Hayom, which is a good name for a book. I'm sorry he took it. But take a look at Lamed. Look what he says for Shabbos. V'yetze, you leave shul, v'lo b'mrutza, not running, k'mo shechsavnu l'mala, v'kodem she'elech l'beisa, before you go home, im yesh eze cholo l'vaker, eze avel l'nachim, eze chasan l'sameach, if there is a person who's ill, if there's an avel, if there is a chasan, yelech al eleyem achrei tzeiso, he should go to them after leaving shul. V'nagu bazeh b'yom Shabbos, yoser mi b'meachol, we do it more on Shabbos than during the week. L'shnei inyanim, for two reasons. Number one, because you don't have any distractions on Shabbos. You're not going to work anyway. But then he says, Hasheni, the second point, today you look good. You showered, you cleaned up. You have clean clothing, nefesh yisera, you have a broad mind or an extra neshama, depending on how you understand neshama yisera. Now is when the chola will appreciate your presence, or the avo will appreciate your presence. You know, you see somebody who, they're on the run, they have 5 minutes, they'll sneak in for 5 minutes before minyans, they can catch mincha ma'ariv at the base of avel and not say tachanun, and then they'll flee the moment minyan is over. On Shabbos, he can go and he can sit and have a real opportunity to speak. V'od shebesivas kavod Shabbos v'hadraso husiyua lo l'nachem l'sameach. Further, he says, the honor and glory of Shabbos will help him to comfort the person properly. Havale keilu acher imo v'tov mashnayim anachas. Shabbos is like another person in the room, helping him out. So the Betzel HaChochma notes, he's making it sound like it's actually better on Shabbos than during the week. Not just equal, but better. Not only that, the Mamar Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, former chief Sephardic rabbi, Sephardic chief rabbi, I should say, of the state of Israel, quotes a practice in Yerushalayim of going to visit Davka on Friday night. Take a look at source Lamed Aleph, towards the end of the source, the last two lines in Lamed Aleph. Uminog tov nagu b'Yerushalayim. It's a good practice they had in Yerushalayim. Shebalel Shabbos hayu holchem levaker esachola. They would go Friday night for Bikur Cholim. Parenthetically, of course, you know you're not supposed to necessarily visit at night. Maybe the patient isn't up for it. We're aware of that. I guess he's talking about where they knew the patient is up for it.
The
The reason for that is the malachim who escort you home from shul Friday night, they will come along with you, and they will also give a bracha to the cholah. So that's a reason why you should go Friday night. So wow, now you're telling me it's actually better on Shabbos than during the week. By the way, that raises a very interesting halachic question, which is beyond the scope of what we're going to get to, but just to point it out, it's a classic question. Is it better to fulfill a mitzvah immediately, reason makivan the mitzvahs, or is it better to wait to perform it in its most ideal form, mitzvah min amuchar? The Chasam Sofer has this fascinating piece on why Moshe delays the bris milah for his son. And he says, you know the famous business about it's not safe, they're going to be traveling, and so on. He has the whole piece where the issue is that you can't use iron, because the Gemara says that a wound made with iron is dangerous. Pedata is dangerous. So you can't use iron while going on the road. But mitzvah min hamufchar with for milah is with iron, we are taught. So therefore, Moshe wants to wait to do the bris milah in the mufchar form, and the malach is telling him, no, you should have done it as soon as possible, even if it is not in the ideal form. It's a chasim sofer on the Gemara and Shabbos. But going back to our discussion, many say that it's hutra, that you're supposed to visit on Shabbos, and especially even because of Shabbos. Having said that, later Ashkenazi Achronim say no, it's dechuya. They don't go with the Rambam view that it's about v'davar davar, and they seem to take the view that it's tsar, and that really we are concerned for tsar. So the Magen Avraham writes in Source Lamed Beis, Aminim b'Gemara b'Koshi Hitiru, the Gemara said that it was with difficulty they permitted it. Why? Shechashu Shema Yavo Lizog, like the language of the Rif, lest somebody cry out. Udaloka Osan Shekol Yemos HaShavua Ein Hochen Rak B'Shabbos. Unlike those people who don't go visit anybody all week long, they say, eh, Shabbos, I'll take care of it. He doesn't like that. He says that's wrong. One should not push it off for Shabbos. Rav Yaakov Emden in the Siddur Yavetz challenges that Seder Hayom that I mentioned from Lamed. He says, first of all, I don't understand how you're doing this after shul. You have a mitzvah to go home and make kiddush. He doesn't like that idea at all. But number two, he says, it's not supposed to be on Shabbos. It's Bekoshi Hitiru. The Pnei Baruch, the Gesher Achayim, don't like it either. The Pnei Baruch writes, Lechatzchila, you should not be Menachem on Shabbos. The Gesher Achayim says, Ashkenazim aren't Menachem on Shabbos. And indeed, look at the Aruch HaShulchan in Lamed Gimel. He says, the last line, Ve'etzleinu lo nagu benichum aveilim b'Shabbos. We don't do this on Shabbos. The Mama Mordechai might, but he's talking to Sardim. The Ashkenazim get very edgy about this. Not only that, look at the Shari Tshuva in Lamed Aleph. Rav Chaim Margolios in the Shari Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch says, Nira, Misha b'mos hachol tarid b'mili d'shmaya o da'alma. If you're busy all week long, u'b'Shabbos sheyesh lo p'nai holech l'chola o havo, and then on Shabbos you have time, so you go to the chola who's your friend, sheyodebo sheyesh lo nachas mizeh, you know that it's going to benefit him, find mitzvah ka'avid. He says, you're doing a mitzvah? You shouldn't refrain. But if somebody is of soft heart, and he's upset when he sees the suffering of the patient, he shouldn't go on Shabbos. Shabbos is for enjoyment. So he says, if you're going to feel pain, you shouldn't go. So what we've seen, in essence, is the Gemara says, we're matir. Right, we have Bekoshi Yitiru, which may be Beis Hillel's view, or Beis Hillel may permit entirely. We have explicit statements about practices of doing this from Gemaras, from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. We have Rishonim who are doing it. However, since you can understand the Gemara in two different ways, and the Rambam takes the V'daber Dover route, which makes it entirely permitted because of Chetzei Shemayim, however, the Ashkenazim take it as Tsar, and there is an argument to be made to say it's only dechuya, it's only pushed off. So even though we have those, including in the early Ashkenazi Rishonim, we said Shabbos is dafka good, the Ashkenazi Achronim are really uncomfortable. And they end up saying, if you're stuck, then do it, but otherwise they don't want it. Last two small issues, and if someone has to go to Ma'ariv, I understand. We got a late start. But what to say to an Avel on Shabbos? So the issue of saying Hamakom Menachem is controversial. The Gemara in Shabbos Yud Beis Amid Beis has a discussion about altering what you say for a Cholah. But it doesn't mention anything about altering what you say for an avil. It doesn't say anything about altering the language. And in fact, the Rambam that we saw earlier seemed pretty clear. He says, you say whatever is normal. He didn't seem to have any problem. The Tur, which we saw earlier, said, Hashochein bebayis hazeh yinachamecha. Right, or Yenachemcha, the one who dwells in this house should give you Nichum. Seemed very simple. It seemed very straightforward. However, the Prisha brings the different views, because there are indeed different views. The Prisha himself justifies keeping the language as is, but he brings both possibilities. The argument is, he says, the justification for keeping the language as is that when you daven for a chole, you feel the pain of the person who is ill. And that's why he doesn't want you to use the same language on Shabbos that you would during the week. Whereas the tefillah that we say for Nichum, he says, doesn't cause a person tzar, doesn't cause a person to cry when he says, Hamakom Yenachim. That's the argument that the Prisha brings, and that's a general school of thought. There are those, though, who disagree and say no. As Jay mentioned before, the Maharshal on the tour says to say, Shabbos himi lenachem unechama krov alavo v'rachma ruben v'shivtu b'shalom. Like a variation on Bikur Cholim, he wants it for Avelus as well. The Ola Shabbos does too. The Aruch HaShulchan mentions both of them. The Aruch HaShulchan we saw before in Lamed Gimel, he mentions both practices, and then he says we don't do Nichum on Shabbos anyway. So don't worry about it. But the answer really is that you have both views as to whether to say Amakom Yenachim. Regarding saying Good Shabbos, though, the Or Zeruah talks about the issue of being Nosein Shalom to an Avel in Source Lamed Zayin, just in general, greeting an Avel. And he says it depends on local minhag. Makom Shnagu Lishol B'Shlam Avelim B'Shabbos Shalom, where that's the practice, go ahead. In Bedarom Shalom, and in the Darom in the south, they do. That's the Or Zeruah's statement, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch brings in Lamed Ches. Mokom Shnagu Lio Shalom B'Shlam Avelim B'Shabbos Shalom, where you greet an Avel normally on Shabbos, wherever that's the practice, Gezun Tehet. So Rav Sternbach, in Source Lamed Tes, has a series of halachos that came up when he was in Avelus for his sister. And he says in Halacha Lamed Aleph, Amru good Shabbos. They said good Shabbos to me, v'nei enesi. And I responded, v'av shabbat mechaber, maybe sheyesh mekom ha-shnagu iser b'shel ha-shon la'aval afilu b'shabbos. Granted that the Shulchan Aruch mentions that in some places they don't greet an avel on Shabbos. Mikom ha-kom nir alim v'yazdaiti shed good Shabbos mutter lomer la'aval avtoch zayin. He says, I think good Shabbos is okay. Why? Because listen to what you intend when you say good Shabbos. Shakavana bazesh yizge karoi le'inyanim aruchniyim shel Shabbos. You are giving the person a bracha that he should merit the spiritual benefits of Shabbos. Ubracha le'inyim ruchaniyim eino b'chlal iser she'el ha-shalom. That's not prohibited to say to an avel. That bracha is permitted, so he says good Shabbos is fine. Clear? I know I'm rushing at this point, but I hope it's somewhat clear. And then the last bit, violating a derabbanan to visit on Shabbos. So we said that Bikur Cholim is a mitzvah. We debated whether it was biblical or rabbinic. If it's a de'oraisa, we can follow the following rule. Shvus de'shvus b'makom mitzvah is permitted. Meaning, you could violate a double derabbanan, by such as asking a non-Jew to violate a derabbanan, in order to be able to do a mitzvah. That's clear. And indeed, the standard halakha books for visiting people in hospitals take that as obvious, that one is able to do so. That's not going to allow you to violate any Yisurim yourself. It's asking a non-Jew to do a derabanan. So for example, they talk about, and I brought you in Shulchan Aruch, in Mem, telling a non-Jew to go call for somebody who's going to come after Shabbos. That kind of thing. However, there may be cases in which visiting is actually considered pikuach nefesh. The Shulchan Aruch that I brought you there in Mem talks about sending a non-Jew to summon a Jew, and the Prima Gadim comments that for pikuach nefesh, one will be allowed to violate a de'oraisa. The Rav Wozner in the Shevet HaLevi says that will apply in a case of Tiruv Hadas. That will apply in a case in which somebody, the Chola, is very upset, and we're worried that because he's so upset, things might happen in the event that he doesn't have someone there to calm him down. We compare it to the case of a woman who's in labor and needs people to do things for her. So in such a case, we say that that one would be justified in actually violating Yisurim in order to be able to visit, because it's more than just a visit. There you're actually helping with the health of the patient, and it could be a pikuach nefesh case. The last link I gave you there was the article I quoted in when I gave the shiur on mental health and pikuach nefesh, where they make arguments about medical necessities for having people at the bedside of a patient in certain circumstances, and they talk to certain poskim who they quote in the article about this. What about where the doctor says that having somebody there is medically necessary? So that's an interesting discussion which really requires more of an expansion at some other point. Thank you very much. Rabbi Abbey will give the shiur good.